Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me as always is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Greetings.
Wow, that was effusive.
Yes.
Pete, though the calendar has now turned to September, and we're all looking towards the fall and winter, at least one television show, summer is just beginning. I'm referring to the pilot for the television show Red Oaks, which is found exclusively on Amazon. And Pete, why are we talking about it today?
Well, we are talking about it because Amazon Studios has, in its second season, kind of, put up a number of, I want to say 8 or 9 pilots that it is asking you to view for free. And with your views and your feedback, decide which of those pilots it will take to series. Last year, for instance, one that they took to series was called Alpha House with John Goodman. So this is the next step in their process.
Yeah, Amazon taking kind of a slightly different route compared to Netflix, which kind of, you know, spent a ton of money up front to kind of get the prestige of House of Cards and whatnot. Amazon kind of going a slightly more traditional route of pilots, but now there's this kind of fan viewer home component of, 8 pilots enter. How many go to series?
Right. And, you know, we know a little bit about this process. They build it as, you know, anyone can write, can produce, can act in these pilots, and they would choose the best of them to bring to the film stage. And move it forward from that. Not the downside, but a little disappointing side of that is of their initial 9 that they chose, 8 of them had backing of existing Hollywood people. So the, hey, let's find the new voices turned into, hey, we found a new voice. But I guess that's par for the course, even though we're talking about primarily tennis in this Red Oaks pilot, even though it is a country club. But the idea here is a sound one. And the competition amongst the Hollywood types, given what it is, a new avenue for people with superior talent to go through. Of course, I think it's only natural that they're going to utilize that opportunity.
So, Pete, can you give me like a one sentence summary of what Red Oaks is about?
Red Oaks is a coming of age dramedy set in the 1980s about a tennis instructor named, I can't remember his name for the pilot.
neither can I.
Guy.
Named Guy.
Named Dude. And I mean, that's immaterial. You watch a pilot and all right, it was a half hour pilot, not the true 22 minute, what we think of comedy pilot, you know, and that's the thing. The Netflixization here is that traditional times on shows are kind of going by the board. I mean, we saw it kind of disastrously done with the 4th season of Arrested Development on Netflix, given that, you know, their runtimes varied wildly from, you know, I gotta say one was over 40 minutes to about 29 minutes. You know, if there's anything I think the broadcast model gets right, it's that runtime. And when you're, I mean, maybe because we're so trained to it, when you veer away from it, you really feel it. So this was a 31 minute pilot, pretty taut in its presentation. I mean, there's only so much characterization you can get in that first one. And I'm sorry, the guy's name just didn't stick with me. It's not a bad thing. It just, you know.
I think any analysis of a pilot always comes with the critical asterisk of there's so much to do in a pilot that you don't do in any other episode in terms of introducing the universe, introducing the situation, introducing the relationships. Whereas, you know, it's like, okay, I don't think it's a slam against Red Oaks that his name didn't particularly stick with us because we had a whole, you know, a whole world, and it's not, you know, maybe not the world of, you know, on the Starship Enterprise, there's all this weird technology, but it still is brand new to us. So,
my gosh, again, having that experience and just seeing what it takes to go through that. And yes, there's so many masters to serve in that introductory effort. And, you know, again, with the idea that this is an audition within this unique process that just makes it all the more difficult. And, you know, God bless him and good luck.
Well, with that, Pete, should we jump into our analysis of the pilot for Red Oaks?
You serve, Matt.
Well, it starts with Pa and Son. Son, who is starting college or a college student, and they're playing some tennis. And now, I knew nothing about this show. I didn't know, even when I first started to watch it, half hour. You know, I quickly saw it was a half hour. Is it a drama? Is it a comedy, etc.? After some wisdom from Dad about, you know, hey, son, listen, I know you're feeling a little existentially unmotivated as a young man. Listen, college is the time where, you know, you smoke a little reefer, you get with the honeys, and this is, you know, the dad giving him this advice here, and then you
the
get
dad
it out of your
from
system.
Spin City, right?
Indeed.
Richard Kind.
And so it's like, oh, okay, so they're being a little kind of edgy. And then Dad proceeds to, in very clear TV terms, starts to have a heart attack. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, so is this boy now going to have to grow up to be a man because Dad dies? Cut to title card, Red Oaks.
Right.
Cut to the hospital where Dad is recovering.
The minute that he went a couple different routes with the things he was bringing up, you know, shouldn't have married your mother, I like Asian women, the embarrassing nature of the stuff coming out, that they couldn't kill him, that for comedic effect, he had to live. And it's followed through beautifully when Jennifer Grey visits Dad in the hospital, one in the yelling with his, keeping his stress down and yelling that, you know, how much he worried her. And later, you know, when the beautiful Asian nurse comes in and Mom and Dad are both attracted to her.
Dad's line as he is kind of preparing to say his last goodbyes to his son there on the tennis court before, you know, it's all okay in the next scene. Dad's line, and this obviously isn't language I would normally use, I'm just quoting here, quote, "I love the Orientals. I think your mother's a lesbian." And it was like, oh, okay. So that, you know, as I'm kind of getting used to the taste of the show, it was like, oh, that's a little shocking, a little provocative, a little kind of old-timey, lovable, not quite excusable racism, you know. But I think certainly, there's that payoff, as you say, in the next scene where, you know, attractive Asian nurse comes in and Mom and Dad are both kind of a little, you know, smitten.
Yeah. I mean, again, the HBOization, the Netflixization of this process. And, you know, I kind of find myself leaning towards, again, that broadcast model, you know, the minute you click on this and you see the content warnings, and I was like, all right, hey. And I get going for it, and I get going for it in a platform where you can. You know, there are things in this pilot you could not put on broadcast TV. The thing I ask myself is, were we served by that?
Right.
Did we need to have it? Does that make the show? And if you've got to hinge your show on that, then I think that's a problem. This show didn't need it. It's taking advantage of this format where it can show that.
I completely agree with what you're saying. And if this goes to series, I would be interested to see how they walk that line, because just because you can do the HBOization, to use your word, doesn't mean you need to. And I think there were moments where they were like, hey, we can say Orientals, and nobody at Standards and Practices at NBC is going to say anything, because there is no right. NBC. There's not right. even an Amazon Studios. We're just putting this up and maybe yes. we'll go for it.
And then the night putting episode later on, you know, which could be strongly implied on another outlet here, you know, gets fully revealed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find myself thinking of, you know, like a show like The Leftovers this year. And while tonally they are light years apart, The Leftovers being referred to as, you know, torture television in some circles, you know, a week here before its season finale airs. There's the idea that I felt initially with that show that, all right, you know, there's seven words that are now in our toolbox, and we can show the nudity and stuff like that. But it just feels like, oh, we got a new toy. Like, is it used for the dramatic effect, or is it used for the shock effect? And I think that's something that in television production, you've really got to consider the usage of. Again, you know, now that there are more outlets to do that with your pay services and all these other, I mean, come on, you know, Yahoo Screen, right, has Community and how they'll handle, right? Is it Yahoo Screen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That has them. And now potentially, you know, a whole set of rules can go out the window. But just because we can do that thing, does it mean that we must do that thing?
It is interesting that you mentioned Yahoo, just in terms of nobody really knows with this whole online TV thing. Nobody really knows what the rules are. And Netflix went one route, as we discussed, which was start big, overpay for talent, overpay for product, and now all of a sudden you're a player.
And even within that, though, you know, in the last week with the Emmys, you know, you talk about Wall Street and people were really looking at Netflix. All right, they've got all these Emmy nominations and they didn't capitalize. Granted, it's just the second time through and Rome isn't built in the day, but you know, it's already the point where you had speculation like, oh, they're going to be a big winner and everything there. So I think that's very important towards this process and part of why they did overpay, at least initially, for talent. And then you're talking about series that they have where, you know, they take those big dramatic risks. So these are the wild, wild west days still of this way of delivering content, and you know, whoever is most successful first is going to dictate the rules.
Yeah, and I think regarding the awards, obviously Netflix would have preferred to win much more. Second season of House of Cards, in my opinion, was not as good as the first. That doesn't mean it is awful. It's just the difference between A plus and A minus. For Orange is the New Black, I mean, look, it's there are moments in every episode of that series where it is so claustrophobic, so kind of psychologically disturbing, and not in some sort of, you know, horror movie type way, but you're just like, oh my goodness, there's no way out for these people, you know, whether they're in prison or not. Like, there's such a downer note to it at times. I mean, it takes place in a prison, for goodness sake. To call it a comedy is kind of tough. I mean, look, there certainly are light moments, there are funny moments, but I mean, you're going to chuckle more through a half hour of any boring sitcom than you will of an hour of Orange is the New Black. So I'm kind of not surprised it didn't win a ton of comedy awards. But my point is this: Netflix did a certain model, big money, big splash. Amazon has tried to do a different route, and I don't know which one is best. It seems that Yahoo, at least initially with Community, is trying to do a bit more of the Netflix route. I mean, albeit for slightly less expensive than we're going to do two seasons up front, and we're going to pay Kevin Spacey and David Fincher. It's, you know, it's $2 or $3 million an episode for 13 episodes. It's kind of a finite purchase. But it's give Amazon credit where it's due. I mean, this is an interesting hybridization to sit and say, somebody, the people behind Red Oaks want to make this show, go and make the pilot, and we, Amazon, will put this in front of our audience. And if we say, holy crow, this is getting 2,000 clicks a day, people really are into it, get the series, all right. And if they're going to make the pilot, and it's like, you know, for this or some other show, and it's like, oh, people on Twitter are like making fun of it, and nobody's really watching it. Okay, that, you know, that's another model too.
I like the way you say Yahoo.
How do I say Yahoo?
Yahoo.
Well, you know what? They have immediately gained credibility with me, despite the fact that they've largely been rudderless in their corporate leadership and the very strange revamp of their homepage. The fact that they have brought Community back for the sixth season is enough for me to say Yahoo.
Wow.
Indeed. Hey, back to Red Oaks, though.
Yes. So we have our main character, our protagonist, who, you know, not losing dad in this situation, begins his summer at the Red Oaks Country Club, and cue the necessary. Here's the friend who is the car valet. Here's the girlfriend who's the aerobics instructor. Here is the sagacious older tennis instructor. Here is, you know, token model couple lifeguard people. You know, we hit our notes, we hit our beats, and it works because I think primarily the period setting.
Yeah, and this certainly is a portion, we're what, 3-4 scenes in, where so much is being introduced, as you said, in terms of the characters. Also, the tone is still being established. I believe Wheeler, by the way, that's the rather crass friend. I believe Wheeler is leading a discussion about, shall we say, grooming habits. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, you know, again, I'm not here to say, oh, this offends me, this doesn't offend me, how dare they show, you know, a naked bosom, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, I'm figuring out what this show is, and there's kind of these moments of, oh, he just said a word you kind of don't use for Asians anymore. Oh, we're talking about, oh, okay. But I thought that it was, look, again, the way a pilot has to introduce all these people, I felt wrapped up in it. I kind of felt wrapped up in the, you know, they weren't going crazy with kind of the 80s hair and the music. They weren't quite going stereotypical at field, how's that for words? It felt kind of very, you know, very organic, which is always a challenge for a pilot to come across organically. And to me, Pete, a big highlight that actually brought me back 20 years or so, it was great seeing Paul Reiser playing the irascible jerk. You know, Pete, I'm mad about him.
I'm mad about you. You know, it would have been a mistake for them to not do the tennis thing. You're not going to have a late 70s, early 80s set successful country club comedy that's not called Caddyshack. So, you know, they pick the right sport. Having taught tennis myself, they did it in both a technical and a relatable way, and it works.
Yeah, it was a really nice addition of that somewhat more mature tennis pro. I don't know, his character really did just kind of sizzle. Maybe it's just the standard, you know, American appreciative bias towards a British accent, et cetera, et cetera. But it was just nice kind of having him there as the Obi-Wan, you know, as the one to kind of explain the particulars. And, hey, we're the tennis instructors. We are not exactly members of staff. We, you know, we shower in the member locker room. We yeah. eat in the dining room. We are cut above. We are the tippity top. Again, is that serving the master of the pilot? Sure, but I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, I had no idea. Is this like every country club, or is this just the way it is here? Either way, I'm kind of hooked by this nice guy going, oh, let me tell you, my boy, let me tell you the rules around here. So it worked.
Yeah, and being set in 1985 in New Jersey, of all places, which, again, we know a little bit about, both the time and the place, you know, his performance, certainly something you want to see more of, as this could potentially go to series. So, you know, and you're going to look for any sellable point of this pilot, and, you know, whether the project is ultimately successful. I mean, this process, again, unique as it is, ordinarily, if a pilot doesn't go to an order, we don't see it. You know, we yeah. go to the comic cons and, you know, are constantly offered the opportunity to purchase a bootleg of the abandoned Wonder Woman series from, what is it, 4 years ago now? You know, it's constantly yeah. thrown in our faces. And, you know, ordinarily, that is not the case that you're going to see just the pilot outside of the system. You know, we're not studio executives yet. But the idea that we would see this and participate in the process now of seeing it potentially go to series, this is new for most involved.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Pete, I have a question for you as the resident tennis instructor here. Mm-hmm. The scene in which young David, who's our main character, when he takes Paul Reiser's character, who is Getty.
Yes.
When they play tennis and young David just absolutely demolishes Paul Reiser on the tennis court, what's the etiquette there? Because even though, like, as it was happening, I know there was the slight tone of, well, Paul Reiser's a jerk, so this kid's going to show him what's what. Part of me is just kind of like, dude, shouldn't you, like, just slow down a little bit? Make the guy who's paying all the money to actually be a member here.
I got to tell you, this was for me the most confusing part of the pilot, because he smoked Paul Reiser, and then it becomes later, the final conflict is he didn't beat him hard enough. I just had a very hard time reconciling that as a device. He did beat him. It was a pathetic showing by Getty, by Paul Reiser's character. And yeah, I was thinking, like, I'm being asked to watch that with revisionist eyes, like, well, Paul Reiser's character told the more mature pro that, you know, he wasn't up to snuff.
Yeah, even though he beat him. I agree, it was kind of a strange,
narratively speaking, yeah. You know, that was I think a missed connection. And, you know, you want to talk predictability, you know, the moment I saw the brunette girl that David had seen the one other time, immediately after that, I'm like, that's his daughter. And of course it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a certain measure of that is to be expected. But again, I thought ultimately successful in what it's asking from us and what it delivers.
Now, Pete, I have a question for mm-hmm. you. In your time as a tennis instructor, spending time at country clubs and camps and that sort of thing, are the staff parties kind of bacchanalian, you know, just ragers where just people are hanging around smoking the wacky tobacco, getting drunk, and then, oh, you go play some golf and suddenly, oh, that lady is topless there.
Yeah, I've never participated in any of that.
Because you're the tennis guy, not the golf guy. Got it. I have to say again, look, I'm not, you want to find meaningful, narratively driven nudity in your television show or movie. I'm not there to get in your way. I was just a little taken aback. Again, trying to still at this point, we're probably at the, you know, we're probably 10 or 15 minutes into the half hour pilot, still trying to kind of settle on what the tone is. And all of a sudden it's like, look, it's clear that the tennis pro, joking aside, it's the tennis pro and two lovely ladies are playing strip golf. It's clear that they're playing strip golf because, like, the ladies are in partial states of undress, and I think the tennis pro is, like, in just boxer shorts or something like that. Like, it's clear what's going on. Then the story just feels like, and now she's going to take her shirt off. And it was just kind of like, to me personally, and look, I'm not trying to say I don't appreciate a pretty lady. I was just sitting here going, like, I don't need to see that from this story right now.
Right, and... you know, I think that's where this process, as open as it is that being employed as a potential edge. I don't know. I think maybe you bring all of your opportunities per se to bear. And again, you let the fans, you let the feedback decide in this process. We know if it was broadcast in one place, that wouldn't be allowable. We know if it was broadcast in another, okay, then you can use that. So, yeah, just taking advantage of where they show it, but not necessarily for the reasons that you show it.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I was impressed by the fact that clearly Red Oaks, as a production, as a TV production, had access to a time machine, because I thought it was great that Barry the photographer was played by Matthew McConaughey from 1994.
Okay, my two big qualms with this pilot, okay? One, taken to series, they definitely need more Jennifer Grey, okay?
Great. Absolutely.
Great to see her on... A TV program, and, you know, just always great to see her involved in any project. The other thing, that the narrative thread at the end, you know, so the girlfriend and this connection with photographer guy, you know, we're shown him sitting on a car or sitting on something. We're shown the girlfriend driving up, and then we never see them again.
Yeah.
Felt like a dropped ball there.
Well, I know, like, she walked off. Like, first of all, when she pulls up, he's sitting on his car and in his shorts and kind of like touches his thigh to just kind of be like,
yeah, I felt like there was either going to be a reveal at the end, apart from that mystery girl is the daughter of the club president. But I felt like there was going to be another one where, all right, bang, that relationship ends, which opens David up to pursue this other one. Clearly, that's not where they went here. And it's not that it's not strongly implied. But I just felt like, you know, he was going to turn the corner and catch the two of them. And it was going to be this true open end of, okay, one door closes, another has opened.
I mean, maybe that's cutting room floor. Maybe that's potential episode two stuff. Right. I think I agree with you. It is certainly hinted at, particularly when she kind of turns away and there's a little wiggle of the behind. So she's kind of saying no, but maybe later, you know, it's. I was going to say I don't like it when pilots do that, but if there was a second episode, what I'm trying to say is this gets back to what you were saying before, Pete, which is if this was a network pilot that we never saw, then this wouldn't be a loose thread. If this was a network pilot that we saw and we had the opportunity to see episode two next week, Sundays at 9 or whatever, then, you know, if I felt compelled to continue watching, just as, you know, member of John Q Public here, then it's not really a narrative thread. It's just a stitching from episode one to episode two. So it's kind of tough. Like, you can't take, I want to take points off because this wasn't something more self-contained, but I also don't want self-contained programming. I want serial stories going on, but I don't have that now because there's not a second episode. So again, I think kind of that resetting of expectations where we are in this wild, wild west of online TV content.
And let's pretend for a moment that with the backing of Steven Soderbergh here, that there isn't some kind of pedigree or some kind of plan, just not seen through this type of service to this point. And, you know, why we're pointing out some seemingly gratuitous nudity and things like this, and, you know, the lack of a clear, you know, narrative resolution when the end game here is to have more of a story.
Right, right. Yeah, so I mean, fair is fair. While it's not you know, oh, we'll try and catch the bad guy next week, it's kind of not that obvious as searching for an ongoing story that it clearly is. So I'll just mention one other thing that I was a little concerned about, Pete, was I was a little unconvinced by the purpose. About 2/3 through the episode, 20 minutes through the episodes, we had kind of a montage of all the characters. Yeah, which I was actually thinking between the it's not South Park, but it was Team America, right? That
it was used on both.
Okay.
Same guys, Matt.
Yeah. Between kind of their calling of attention to, you know, what a montage can do, especially if you need to kind of fill a pothole in your story. Also, having come off, I think within 24 hours of seeing this episode, I saw the episode of Community, which I can't remember the title of, but it's documentary format where it's the one that LeVar Burton is in, where a comment is made. Hey, you know what's great about documentaries? If you just throw in a montage toward the end of everybody doing seemingly unimportant things, but you put music over it, then it feels really profound and important. Of course, in the episode of Community, they do that, and it's, yeah, you know, self-referential, ha ha ha. With this, it kind of was all of a sudden like, oh, things feel really important because all the characters' lives are interconnected, because Wheeler is monologuing over showing a bunch of characters doing seemingly unimportant things, and the music in the back, oh wait, are they montaging me here? But I was like, okay, whatever. At least it's an opportunity to see everybody. Then there kind of was the montage of the tennis match, which had to go six sets in, yep, order for him to win. That was the kind of rather curious nature of the bet, which is, you beat me last time, but are you good enough to beat me six times? Was it even six times in a row, Pete? Or was it just like...
Yes, it was.
Six times in a row, which is like... The guy beat you good the other time. And, of course, there's the added dramatic hook of, but David was drinking at the staff party. Yes. And also David doing other things at the staff party on a rather fully lit section of the golf course, not too far from everybody else, which is kind of a little weird. But David's really hungover. But he still beats him 6-0, because not for nothing, he can play tennis and he's like 20. So I would kind of expect a hungover 20-year-old to still beat the Getty character of however old Paul Reiser is.
I want to see where this show is going to go. And maybe that's the greatest compliment you can pay a pilot. And why it would get the faith of a season order, whatever that would be for Amazon Studios, your traditional 13 to 22 episodes, who knows? I think there's more stories to tell. And I like the unpredictable nature, given, again, the format that we're talking about, of where they could go with it. Now, could it quickly fall into, you know, a rut? I think that's a potential pitfall for this series, given, you know, some of the concerns we've brought up initially. But, yeah, I want to see more.
I totally agree. We are constantly on our various podcasts, we're constantly saying, give us something new, give us something unique. Enough with, you know, Act 1, the crime happens. Act 2, our investigators investigate. At the end of that section before the commercial break, they think it's the janitor. Act 3, it's not the janitor. Give us something new that has unique voice and a unique take, and this absolutely does. Is it imperfect? Yes, but you know what? A pilot is a place where you figure out some of the things from conception to final edit. You know, it takes that process sometimes to figure out what doesn't work or what needs to be tweaked pace-wise. And I totally agree. I would love to see more Red Oaks. And as you said, and it's worth repeating because it's so true, more Jennifer Grey as well. Really, really interesting character. And let's see more Red Oaks.
You have to imagine that the family situation is going to be explored more fully. You're not going to bring Jennifer Grey and Richard Kind around if you're not going to get into that. So serving as many masters as the pilot does, you know, they get their introduction, they get their, you know, needed characterization, they get out. Same with Riser's character. You know, he's the jerk president. He's, you know, really the, he's not the inciting force in this pilot, but, you know, to bring it full circle at the end with, you know, being the dad of the girl that, you know, David has become interested in here, you know, wisely filled out with the veterans there who, again, you can only imagine in a series order are going to get, you know, more placement.
Indeed. So I guess we'll keep our listeners apprised as to the future of Red Oaks you know, kind of best of luck to the show.
Absolutely.
Pete, with that, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on the Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J. Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 4,090 followers. Can't be wrong.
Wow. I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost. You can get in touch with the podcast on our .com, Gmail, and Twitter. That's Fantastic Geek, Fantastic with a P-H. And Pete, we will be back before too long updating the pop culture podcast feed. Will it be something Marvel related? Will it be off topic? We have, in the next 2 months, obviously Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns. We have those kind of, you know, preview episodes to do. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Back on the airwaves on, is it September 23rd?
Yes, 23rd.
There's New York Comic Con not too far away in October. So plenty of good stuff ahead of us.
All sorts of goodies.
So stay tuned, stay subscribed, keep checking fantasticgeek.com, and Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Game, set, match.